Hey guys, the whole point is to bring the family and the fun and the excitement back into it. Bring the fun, like Sister Johnson says, where you're so excited about church you lay your clothes out the night before. And I thought that was a true statement where you need to get excited about living for God. If you're not excited about your church, the people of God, the kingdom of God, the house of God, your man of God, you will never win a soul. You will never win anybody. Well, they can't a vacuum salesman sell a vacuum cleaner if he don't believe in his product. And if you don't believe that that Buick's the hottest thing going, you need to sell Fords or something. But don't be a car salesman and don't believe in the car you're selling. Amen. I just know that this product that we have is a necessity. This is a vehicle to get them from here to there, from the natural to the supernatural, from the earthly to the heavenly. Amen. I plan on staying on board. I plan on staying apart. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of John, chapter 6. I'm going to read there some 3 through 14. So it's just a few scriptures, not much, and then we're going to allow you to be seated. Amen. I feel that's what happens when you have a early service and a late service, or not so much early and a late, but Brother Eric said an a.m. and a p.m. Amen. I'm going to try to have you out before it gets 2 p.m. That I promise you today. Amen. I am working on that. I am. Y'all just show me, Brother George, if you would help me pick out an iPad and show me how to use that thing, I would not cut down near so many trees and use up so much ink. Book of John, chapter 6, starting at verse 3. The Bible says, "And Jesus went up into a mountain. There he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, Lord, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for that." What do you tell the Lord when he already knows the answer? I mean, it's a trick question. "Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." Been okay if he'd have stopped right there. The dude had it. He had God's attention. He stepped forward. And then his next statement was, "But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." And now there was much grass in the place. If you don't think God ain't looking out for you, why would he put there's so much grass in the place? I read that, and they went up the mountain, but it was to a field. They were in a field, and there was a lot of thick grass. And in studying, he told them, just sit down, make beds in the grass. Just sit down on the grass. And it was real soft and cushiony. He said, "There is much grass in the place." So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth." This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Amen. That was left off of my paper, but I knew there was more there. He said, that prophet that should come into the world. Let's just ask God if he would to anoint the word, to open it up to us that we might see what God's trying to tell us. God of heaven, right now, talk to our hearts. We are receptive this morning on a Sunday morning, Sunday early afternoon, we are ready for the word. Would you talk to our hearts? We are receptive to you, God. Speak to us. Speak to us, God, for we hear what you're saying. God, we receive the word with gladness. Talk to our spirits, oh God. Deal with us. Give us direction. Open up the word to us. Reveal the truth to us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Amen. I'm going to try for the first part to be in a little bit of teach mode, to be merciful this morning, to allow you the opportunity to sit for a little bit, but not sit down on me. Amen. Just rest your haunches for a little bit, but stay with me. Amen. Does anyone hear that besides me? No, I mean literally. Do you hear that? Can you hear that? I mean, do y'all hear the rattle? Thank you, brother, for being with me. That brother is with me, and don't get in his way. It just keeps buzzing up here. You can hear it too. All right. Amen. I guess it's okay now. It went away. Like a crook. Sound like a frog to me. Thank you, brother. Amen. If you look at verse 5, what stood out to me there in the very first part of that passage of Scripture was when he said, Philip, when shall we buy bread? I got to studying this, Sister Mann, and I realized that this is the only miracle that was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the only miracle that all four evangelists wrote down, thought worthy enough to write down. You realize there's a whole lot of stuff that didn't make the Bible. There's a whole lot of stuff happened that he said, man, it couldn't contain it. There was a whole lot of other stuff. But this thing was, I guess it rated big enough, or the principle, or the truth that was there, and what the Lord was trying to teach that was there, I guess it was important enough for all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels, have this passage in them. Amen. I begin to look at the Scripture where it said, Philip, okay, verse 5, he said, Philip, which shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. If you look on down, you're going to find out that Philip had been present during all of the miracles. Philip was there in the very beginning when he turned water into wine. Go back and read the Scriptures. I did not know that. But in studying and in the commentaries, it tells you that Philip was there from the very first day that he turned water, his very first miracle, that he turned water to wine, Philip was there. And in studying, it says that Philip was present at all of the miracles. And yet of all the miracles, this is the only one that was in all four Gospels. And so I got to looking at verse 5 there and looking at this passage, because obviously, there's a reason that the Lord wants us to take a look when he puts it in four books of the Bible. And there's a part that there's a place in here that I was actually looking for in my notes. I'll get to it in just a little bit. But, amen. All right, I'll find it in just a minute. I'll find what I'm looking for. All right. I'll come across it in a minute. That's okay. Here we find in verse 5 that he asked him, he said, Philip, how are we going to buy? How are we going to buy the bread to eat? The whole time knowing what the answer was going to be, knowing the outcome. Verse 6, he says, that the Bible says he knew. He just asked him to prove him. I wonder how many times there are things in our lives that God lets come our way, that God allows to prove us. I've always been told if God can trust you with the little things, he can trust you with the big things. But if God can't trust you with the little things, he's definitely not going to give you the big things. How can he give you big responsibilities when you can't take care of little responsibilities? How can he give you something for you as department heads? We need to look at this. I did this week. I asked myself this question. I asked my wife this question. how can, if our homes are not in order, and we don't have our lives in control, how do you get up and tell a department, we need to get this in order? It first got to start at the home. We as leaders, we as department heads, we as departments and directors and managers and work, when you get up and tell something, we got to get this in order, you better first start at home. We got to get our homes in order. We got to go back to the basics. That not only accounts for here, Landmark, that accounts for home. Because if you got it here, it ain't going to last for just so long, but you got to go back home, and you're there a whole lot more than you're here. Amen. And so just a little food for thought. We need to go ahead and start getting our homes in order, getting our lives in order. Because the thing is, before this is said and done, you're going to have your homes. Your homes are going to be a place of refuge. We are going to use your homes. We're going to get there in just a few minutes in the message. We're going to get to that point in just a few minutes. But beforehand, we need to do whatever we have to do to get order in our home, to get control in our home and in our lives. So he says to Philip in verse 5, how are we going to feed him? Verse 6, he says he knew it. He's just asking to prove him. Amen. There are one place in the scripture, and I wrote this down. He asked Philip, he said, have I been with you so long, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He asked him in one place in the Bible. It would have fit right here. Because he asked Philip, how are we going to do it? Philip said, I don't know. I just don't know. Philip's been there at every single miracle. He had been there at every miracle, and yet here he is. Here Philip is, when it comes time, that was astonishing to me that he could be there at every miracle, and when God asked him on the mountaintop, took him with him, and the Bible says the Lord was sitting there, and he looked up, and here come the multitude. Why was God even interested in feeding them? Why couldn't they feed themselves? These were grown adults. These were men. They should have packed a backpack, packed a lunch. Why was it God's responsibility? And yet God's first response is, how are we going to feed them? How are we going to take care of them? He said, set them down right here in the grass. Give them something comfortable. There's a lesson to learn in that. Set them down right here. Let's take care of them. Philip says, I don't know, 200 people won't even feed them. Maybe they can take just a little bit. And that's the approach sometimes we take that we have got to get rid of. Sister Johnson and I were talking. She said, that's a mentality, honey. That's a mentality that we don't even believe that God can do it, or we're just going to give them just a little bit. We think that God can do only a little bit. Let's read a little bit further, because you're going to find that God wasn't interested in giving them just a little bit. God was interested in giving them till they were full and running over, pouring it out. There's a principle. There's a parallel. There's a type and shadow here. God's not interested in giving them just a piece of the Holy Ghost. He's not interested in giving them just a titch of deliverance. Amen. God is interested in them being filled with His Spirit, finding a comfortable place up here and saying, God, here they are. Fill them. Fill them till they overflow. Amen. We're gonna go just a little bit further. I want to dig just a little bit deeper. Amen. We are apt to distrust God's power when visible and ordinary means fail. In other words, we only trust Him as far as we can see. We're good, Philip. We're okay, as long as we got the money for it. But where do we begin to trust God? Where do we have faith, Brother Rogers? Where do we jump off the diving board and say, God, you better catch me because it's going to be a hard landing? That's what faith is all about. I'm telling you, we are going to get there when you step out on faith, when you make a proclamation and you watch it come to pass. When you can get that, God is given to each a measure of faith. God is not interested in you having just a titch of the Holy Ghost. Oh, man. Woo. Hallelujah. In other words, trust Him no further than we can see. Why couldn't they feed themselves? Amen. So I begin to look in the Bible. Amen. We're gonna come across something in just a minute that I did not see. I've read that passage. I've read it multiple times. But there are several things here, several connections here that I did not see until I just laid it out. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the Word of God. In other words, taking it word by word, piece by piece, breaking it, multiply it. Oh man, that's exactly what God did in just a few minutes. He began to break the bread. He began to multiply the bread. Bible says, at one place He said, I am the bread of life. Amen. He's the manna from heaven. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God is not interested in us just breaking off a little bite. Amen. God's interested in us taking basketfuls. Amen. God will provide. Amen, 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 amen. And so we find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Brother Shupp, read that for me on the screen, please. Amen. You're starting to get the connection? God, why did God even say, what are we going to feed them? Why was he even interested? See, this didn't just start there. Amen. God said, we're going to take bread and we're going to go from house to house. Amen. You're going to go from house to house, breaking bread, eat their meat with gladness. All right, let's go to John 21, 16 and 17. Amen. Brother David Kinney, read me John 21, 16 and 17. Feed my sheep. Verse 17. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Not only is he talking naturally, amen, but he crosses over, he's talking spiritually here. One, he said, we're going to go from house to house, breaking bread. You're going to go, you're going to feed them. That was his main concern in the beginning. When he seen them coming, he said, what are we going to feed them? We got to take care of them. We got to feed them something. Then he says, we're going to go from house to house. Now he says, if you love me, feed my sheep. I'm not asking you to go out and get a bag full of groceries at Walmart. That's not what I'm talking about. Amen. But I do believe we will, and there is possible now. I believe, and I've got the faith for it. If you can hook up with me, we can write. I believe that there can be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And there can be families at a time and 15 to 20 come in and stay. I believe God is that powerful. I believe God can and God will and God wants to. Amen. But if history repeats itself, and that has happened in history, it is most likely on the average going to come one soul at a time, one family at a time, one connection, one relationship at a time, one meal at a time. You may have to open your home if you want to see revival, if you want to see the blessings of God, if you want to see God give back to you. I'm going to go just a little bit further, but I'm telling you, if you see the revival that you so desire and long to see, and I hope to God that is your heartbeat, because I am sick and tired of looking at empty pews and the same three or four. I'm grateful for the greatest young people that's ever been, but good God Almighty, I'd like two and three rows of young people. I can pastor that many young people. Brother George, I can connect with that many young people. Amen. It is possible. It is so possible. And that's why, in just a little bit, in the second part, amen, in the second part, we're gonna go into a little bit of different direction, but it's gonna connect here, because I believe that we have a mentality, we have a mindset, and we have what we think and perceive as revival. Throw it away. Get rid of your philosophy, get rid of your, I am trying to literally cram your mind and your heart so full of revival and outreach and soul winning, and do something that you forget about what you think revival should look like. Amen. Because this is not revival. We have not attained it yet, but we're on our way. We haven't got there yet, but we're opening our homes, but we're inviting people in, but we're picking people up, but we're doing whatever we have to do. Amen. The thing is, I will fall back on the 17 that have been baptized in Jesus' name. And I will fall back on the 6 that have received the Holy Ghost. And the 3 that have prayed back through to the Holy Ghost. But I refuse to stop right there. I refuse that March get here and say, well, we ain't baptized no more in February. Well, we run out of kids, so we ain't got nobody else. Shame on you. Amen. Shame on me if there ain't anybody else. Amen, amen, amen. Just a few minutes, we're going to get to where she had the vessels. And he said, go and get them. We're going to cover that part in just a minute. Amen. But if you can get the vessel in the house, God can fill it. If you, your responsibility, it is not God's responsibility. That's why he put you and us here. Oh, man, I wish you could get God's done His part. God has done His part. Now it's up to you and I to get them and bring them to the house. Those vessels didn't come themselves. That is why God put it there. He said, go and get empty vessels. Go and get vessels that are broken that need mending. Go and get vessels. Oh, man. Amen. I've got something burning inside of me. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. But God has done His part. It is up to you and I to do ours. I've got a story, and I'll read it. I'll read it in the second part, maybe. Just for sake of time, I'm not going to read it this morning. I'm going to try to be conscious of the time. Amen. I believe God sometimes, I'm going to try to jump back into my text. I believe God sometimes He allows things to happen just to see what we're going to do. He knows there's choices there. But you see, the choice is ours. He puts out the choices. You got A, B, or C. He wants to know what door you're going to choose. He lays it out, and we're the ones that decide door A, door B, door C. We're the ones that decide what road we take. Then when we take that road, then God says, okay, now this, this, and this. Now which one are you going to take? God knows if you choose this one, what it's going to be. If you choose this one, what it's going to be. And if you choose this one, what it's going to be. But it's up to you to choose. You don't believe me. God did not predestine every one of us. We have a choice whether we want to make heaven or hell. You have a choice whether you want to be a soul winner. I can't win a soul. Yes, you can, but not with that attitude. I can't be saved. I'm barely going to make it. You're right. You're probably barely going to make it if you make it at all. You could, but not with that attitude. Amen. You can't come up here and hold a baby and expect to be saved unless it's your baby. Amen. I felt it go all over me, and I've seen two or three of them holding babies. They need deliverance, not holding a baby. For God's sake. Brand new converts and people picking up babies. Take the babies from them, push them to an altar. Man, they need you to get them in the house. They need your leadership. I'm afraid I'll step out of bounds. If you do, I'll tell you. If you do, I'll let you know. But in the meantime, get in this thing with me. Hook up in the traces. I want revival more than anything. If I have to sacrifice money, if I have to sacrifice time, if I have to sacrifice Saturdays, that's our problem. We don't want to give up what's ours. We don't want to let go of a bloody garment. We want to hold on to it. Jacob, let go of the bloody garment. Nah, it's dead. What I thought was going to be is dead. It's over. It's done. I can't do it. I tried and all I got is a bloody garment. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. What you think and perceive as revival, no sir. You're holding on to a dead concept of us four and no more. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. We're holding on to a dead concept of what used to be and what we used to feel. And we can't have revival like, no, you're right. We can't have it like that. We can have it better than that. We can have it bigger than that. Oh my goodness. Amen. You bring the multitudes. We see multitudes. God sees individual needs. God's looking at them. He don't see, well, my God, they got problems. They got this. They look like that. God's looking at the need. He's looking at the individual. He's looking at the person. He's looking at the vessel. And He's saying, I got it. If you can get them here and get them to repent, I got something to fill them up again. If you can get them to an altar, I'll forgive them. Amen. But you got to go get the vessels and bring it in. It is mine and your responsibilities. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were you was in the multitude one day, but somebody cared enough to come and get you, Sister Man. Somebody cared enough to come and talk to you, Brother Chuck, and to you, Brother O. And I could go all the way around the room. You are a broken vessel, but God filled you and sanctified you. And so such were some of you. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 11. I'm going to skip down. Verse 11. Whew. Bible says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, here's the thing right here. You got to get the big picture. Amen. Brother Cannon gave me a book, 17 laws, 17 indisputable laws of teamwork. irrefutable or hot tamale or something. I don't know. Something about 17 something laws of teamwork. I got it. It is an excellent book. Department heads, I highly recommend it. 17 laws, 17 irrefutable laws of teamwork. I believe it is. Correct? Indisputable. The other one is 21 irrefutable laws. There's two books John Maxwell's written of leadership. Get both of them. If you are a department head, you need both of them. You'll probably find some of the things I'm teaching about teamwork out of there. John Maxwell, he may not know truth, but he sure got some good ideas. He sure knows teamwork. I won't let him teach doctrine, but by George, I'll let... By George, get it? That was funny, wasn't it? I don't know. I just thought of it. I'll let him teach teamwork any day. Not from a pulpit, but I'll let him teach teamwork. Amen. So I'll pull from it. It is a resource. It is nothing more than a resource that will allow you to mesh together as a team. We're going to go there in just a minute. First, one step at a time. Verse 11, Jesus took it. Our whole deal is we've got to take what we have and put it in God's hands. That's just a little bit. It's just five loaves. God knew it was only five barley loaves. It was so small that it was in a little boy's lunch. I mean, come on. That's common sense. It was a little bitty crackers all it was and a two sardines. Bishop wouldn't even have got full on it. Two little salt. That's all he eats. When Mom used to go out of town, he would eat sardines and crackers. That's just nasty. And he'd stink to the high heavens, and his breath would be rough, and I'd say, oh, man, you've been eating sardines again. Then he'd go out big on a limb and get them in mustard sauce. Whew. And then he'd get them in hot sauce. That's just, Could you imagine? Hey, you must be hungry, son. Could you imagine feeding 5,000 men, not counting their wives and children, because them people didn't believe, well, you got the idea. They didn't have television, and it wasn't birth control back then. So a lot of them had lots of kids, and he begat so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and they lived to 500 years back then. They lived a long time. Dealing right here where I'm reading, where I'm fixing to go in just a minute, they was living 590. Methuselah lived 950-something. That's a lot of begatting right there, people. That's a whole lot of line right there. Woo. That's a whole nother message. I'm going to jump back on this one. What we have to do is get what we have and put it in God. Boy, I had Brother Gutierrez's attention, didn't I? Boy, he was giggling all over. Did you see that? Man. Hey, mi hermano. Hey, te amo. That's all I know. And I say it every service. What we have, you say it's just a sardine. It's just a cracker. It ain't much. I have said from day one, if you will do your part, and he will do his part, and he will do. It's just a sardine. But if you put enough of them together, you got enough to feed 5,000 people. And so everybody keeps doing their little part. One piece of pie does not define the pie. That doesn't make up the pie. But if you put one piece of pie and you cut it, you got eight pieces. You put eight pieces together, you got the whole pie. It's a complete package. All I'm trying to do is say, Brother and Sister Ma'am, you do your part. Brother and Sister Shep, you do your part. Brother Slaughter, Brother Lyons, you do your part. Pretty soon we got a whole package and a complete pie put together. Pretty soon we got a winning deal. The problem is everybody can see it but us. I sat there with them men and they're going, my God. And I don't mean I wish the tape was off at this moment, but I looked down and seen their numbers and I looked down and seen their offer and I was like, ooh, Jesus, but I ain't saying nothing because I realize that we are blessed. I realize that we are blessed. Financially, we are blessed. That's why we're able to do some of the things that we're doing now because we are blessed and that's why we're investing back into the people, back into the young people, back into the kingdom of God. That's why we're buying. That's why we're giving. That's why I pick up the tab. That's why I do those things. You think you're crazy? No, I'm smart. I'm investing in the kingdom of God. You cannot go wrong investing in the kingdom of God. We've helped Sister Winona. We've helped Sister Priscilla. We've helped every one of them. What are you doing? I'm buying the ticket when I go to Outback. I'm doing this. Why? That's crazy. No. I got a text this morning from a man that said, Pastor, I just wanted you to know I felt like putting $500 in the offering towards revival. That's above and beyond his tithes and offering. That's an additional $500 that he couldn't do it if God wasn't blessing. And perhaps he knows that God's blessing. The same brother said, Pastor, I'm so excited. I got to tell you, I broke six figures this year. Now, you sit down on it if you want. I say it ain't nothing but God. That's not counting what the wife makes. And so we are blessed. Why? Because we're a giving church. And we know how to feed the multitude. And we know how to say, here's some grass. Why don't you sit down while we get you a little something to eat? Well, you'll get burned if you do that. Yeah, we might get burned 1 out of 10. But the other 9, we're going to save and put them on a seat right there. Because somebody was there for you and somebody was there for me. Hey, man, Bishop called me yesterday and said, man, I want you to know you just get in there. He didn't even know that I was kind of disappointed the Wednesday night. And I just figured I just wore him out. I'm going to give him a couple nights of rest. We'll be bounced back on Sunday. And I told Sister Johnson, I said, we'll put Wednesday behind us. We're going to knock it hard on Sunday. You know, Bishop told me, he said, son, don't worry about Wednesday. He didn't know a thing about Wednesday. Man, just put Wednesday behind you. And he said, hit Sunday again. So I'm going to call you back. That's how it went. That's exactly his words. That's exactly his words. You know what I tell him? You know what I'm going to tell him? I said, man, Dad, we got into the Word. It was an awesome service. 15 got the hook. No, I won't say that, but I sure would by faith. Give me half a chance, I'll say it. Amen. You know why? Because I want it more than anything. I want revival. More than I want financial blessings, I want a move of God. You know how we're going to get it? Is if you do your part. That does consist of giving. Thank you, that brother. Thank you for stepping up. And he heard from God. He sure didn't hear from the devil, I promise you. Money's too hard to come by, so he certainly did not. It wasn't the flesh telling him, I think you ought to give. The flesh is going to say, yeah, put that joker in your pocket and see if you can get some more. Hold your hand out, maybe give you gas money. Uh-uh. That ain't the way you build churches. That ain't the way you have revival. Being stingy. God, get, how you go? I just lost half of you. That's okay. I'm going to go on just a little bit further. Verse 11, Jesus took it and he put it in his hands. Read it for yourself. Verse 11, Jesus took it. And he put it in his hands. And then he blessed it. He thanked God for it. Wait a minute. Jesus, thank God. Mm-hmm. Jesus, that's a whole other message. We'll go there. I don't have time today. But Jesus blessed it and he thanked God for it. And he said, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We'll go into wrapped in the flesh and all that kind of stuff on a different Sunday morning when the new convert class is back in here. Amen. Right now they're getting good teaching on called, chosen, faithful. Brother Gooden's doing an awesome job. And that's why all our new converts are next door being taught. They need to go through 12 weeks of new convert class. But boy, when they get back in here, we're going to hit it again, brother. Amen. We might as well probably even do another. And by the way, thank you, Sister Mann. Don't let me forget. I got it in my notes. We are passing out. Sister Mann had 75 copies of Into His Marvelous Light made for us. We are going to put a copy of Into His Marvelous Light in every adult's hand before you leave here. Hopefully we have enough for every teenager, every single. In every adult, married, single, teen, young adult, we are going to put a copy of Into His Marvelous Light. I was telling them, brother, this week, we are going to study that. We are going to know that. Frontwards and backwards, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Once we get that, we're going to do some little Bible memory verses. We're going to do some really, hey, we may, it's ours, we may as well, we may even do a sword drill. Remember we used to do sword drills years ago? And we'll do it on doctrinal scriptures. Then one day we may focus on maybe we go into, I'll wait till William's here and I'll go in on hair. When I get William here, I've loaded. I've got several books, and I just can't get him here. Amen. On a Wednesday night when it's happening. And he did come, and Brother Mills was preaching. Almost said, hold on, time out. Amen. We don't know if he believes it if he cuts that hair. Amen, amen. He thinks he's, never mind. All right. Nazareth. Amen. Got the Nazarite vow or something. Samson, I ain't figured that one out, but we're going to get there. I'm just biding my time. You just hold tight. Don't think I'm overlooking it. It ain't going nowhere. Amen. But we're just biding our time till I get the right moment. He did call me. He said, Pastor, I need to find out if I'm okay. I ate pepperoni. I said, what? He said, he's kosher. He's Israel and he believes in pork. That joker eats pizza about every night now, double pepperoni. He's tearing it up. We'll go over and he'll get shrimp. So we're working on him little bit by little bit. He wouldn't eat shrimp or pepperoni. Next step, we're going to get his hair. I'm going to take him down to Joe's barbershop down there. That's right. We're going to do it, Brother Slaughter. Amen. We'll tell him we need to donate your hair. That's what we'll do. I'll make a hair piece out of what I'll do. Put it right here. Look like I got testosterone or something. I say, honey, ha! Yes, she about shave, boy. Amen. I have lost it now. Amen. Verse 11, Brother Slaughter, you with me? Verse 11, and Jesus took it and he blessed it. Hey, we can have fun. Hey, if you were the dead, I wouldn't go to a church that was dead and dry. I'm going to go where I can have fun and live a little bit. That's life and life more abundantly. You have fun at work, you can have fun at church and still preach truth. Amen. We can have a good time, still make heaven together. I can watch your kids be saved. Amen. But they ain't going to go nowhere they unhappy. Amen. Your kids ain't going to make it if it's just... And I'm not losing no more kids. Amen. I'm not raising them up to 18 and losing them. I'll hang on to them. I'll wrap around them. You'll have to call the law on me. That man won't leave my driveway. Amen. It'll be the first time I shot somebody. Amen. All right, here we go. He blessed it. Then read the next part. Are you on verse 11? Go to verse 11. Brother Pat, read it for me. I've seen if you was paying attention. What? He what? Say it again. Distributed to, that's correct, distributed to the disciples. Read the next part. Whoa. That's where I want to get right there. God took it. The Lord took it. Jesus took it. And when he took what you gave him, he takes what Brother Pat gives him. He takes what Brother Jacob gives him. He takes what Brother David Kinney, Brother Mike Kinney, Brother Joe Orianis. He takes whatever one of you ladies give, whether it be big, large, or small, whatever it be, something insignificant. Go ask the woman with the two mites. She'll tell you. He'll take it, and then he'll bless it. And he thanked, given thanks for it. Then here's what the part says. He distributed it to the disciples. God didn't pass out the fish and the loaves. All God did was bless what they gave him and multiply it. All God did was put it in their hands. They had to then go disciple the people. They had to then give what God had given them. But wait a minute. They give it to God first. They give it to God first. Realize the principle here. Brethren, realize the principle here. They gave it to God to allow God to use it. They gave it to God, and God blessed it, and then God gave it to them to distribute. Oh, I feel something right there. If you can learn to give it to God, and I'm going to let you read between the lines. If you can learn to give what you have, whether it's your time, effort, family, love, money, whatever it is, if you can just get the principle, you can't hold on to one and just give the other. You got to say, God, here it is. They didn't give four loaves and one fish. Don't you know they was hungry too? But they said, God, here it is. They said, Andrew stepped up. You got to give Andrew kudos, man. He did step up. Nobody else was saying anything. And Andrew said, Lord, there is a lad here. Lord, there's a lad here with a lunch. And then he said, but what is so little with so much? Well, that ain't near enough. That ain't near enough. He did good when he stepped up. And he had faith because he knew that if he could get it to God, but then that's where he stopped because that's all he could see. That's all he could see. He could only trust God with what he could see. He could only trust God with his, what the way he's seen it, with his own viewpoint, with his point of view. Well, I see what's here, and here it is, God. And that's where his faith stopped. That's where our faith needs to begin and say, God, I give you, I'm good with people. And so then we're going to play to my strength. This is the way we started this thing, brethren. It's you're good in an area, so we play to your strengths. When you're good, so we play to your strengths. So we put you in an area where if you do your part, whether it's with a department, whether it's working with another department, whether it's a work party, whether it's asking, whether whatever it is, if you will give your part that's asked of you, God, here is a lad. Put it in God's hands. God will bless it. And what you give to God, I can go to other scriptures in the Bible and back it up. I don't think it's necessary where it talks about good measure, pressed down, shaken. You cannot outgive God. You understand me? You cannot outgive God. Here's why some of you are being blessed. Here's why some of you are saying, I don't know what's happened. Some of you are saying, Pastor, I just got a raise. Pastor, my raise was $30-something thousand. Got a phone call this week. Got a phone call this week. God's blessing. Why is it blessing? You know why it's blessing? Because you've decided to get on board and you're giving everything you've got. And so I don't know what's going on. I said, brother, just don't lose it. Let's keep it going. I said, we're going to ride this wave as far as it'll go, and we'll be riding a pedal for everything we're worth. Amen. Because I intend to see revival. I'm going to go one further. I intend to see a new sanctuary. You got to get the big picture. You got to see long term. I'm not staying here. If you want to stay here, God bless you. But there will be a day we build a new sanctuary. Amen. I'm going to go all out in Jesus' name right here. Are you ready? We're going to have a home for abused women, too. It's going to be a wing. Well, you're quite crazy. No, sir, I just got faith. It may not happen today, but before I say I'm done, it will happen. We will have a home. We will have a place. Amen. I know I blew some of your minds, but I'm telling you, amen, if you get with me and ride now, it'll happen. It'll happen. Amen. If it won't happen, there's a lot of men liars. Bishop's a liar, and I don't think he is. Amen, because Bishop can see into it. Bishop called and said, hey, it's time, son. This thing was right. It's time. Go on. Start this. He don't even know what I talked to my wife about. He said, go ahead and start daughter. It probably wouldn't surprise me if he'd say, son, can I have one in daughter works? He wants us to start. I don't know. I'm hoping he just retires and stays here and helps us, because we can do it in Jesus' name. That's all right with me. Amen. Here's the deal. I'm going to jump back real quick. You can be seated. I don't even know what time it is. We'll start a 12-part series. Disciples, he blessed it. He put it in the Lord's hand. The Lord blessed it, and then he gave it to the disciples. He gave it right back to them. Don't you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Don't you understand the department you work in? Oh, my God. I don't care if you give $5. I don't care if it's a department and you say, my God, it's a Friday night. My goodness. You give that. God will put what you give, bless it, and put it back in your hands. He will multiply it. If it's you investing in outreach, investing in a nursing home ministry, God's going to open a door for you. Now, whether you go through it or not, that's where you drop it off. That's where you lose it. But I'm telling you right now, God will bless. He will open a door. There will be somebody in your life that if you will tell them right then, you're not listening to me. I'm telling you, God will speak to you. I have heard him in the last little bit to where I never heard him before. But I've heard him say, give them this, do that. Give them a card. Pray for them right here, right now. I missed. There was a lady here came the other day. And it was before her Bible study. And I started talking to her. The Holy Ghost started moving. And I felt to lay hands on and pray for her. And I thought, man, that's a little much. We ain't never done that before church ever started laying hands on anybody. I believe if I had obeyed the Holy Ghost, she'd have started speaking in tongues. And I missed it. I won't do it again. I missed it. Because the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And multiple times lately, I'll feel something. It'll say, and I'm thinking, is that me? And do it. And watch God work through it. I've done it multiple times. The one I just told you about the other day at the gas station. And I could go on and on and on and tell you different ones. I'm telling you, that ain't a little devil or an angel whispering in your ear. That's the Holy Ghost talking to you. If you'll just listen and obey it, watch God move in your life. Watch God move in your life. Amen. Matthew 28 and 19. Matthew 28 and 19, the Bible says, go ye therefore, and teach all nations. I'm talking about giving it to the Lord. God blessing it. He gave it to the disciples. And the disciples gave it to them. It does not end there. It does not stop there. We think he's just talking about 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. No, God knew 5 barley loaves and 2 fish wasn't going to be enough. He knew 2 sardines wouldn't cut it, but when they put it in God's hand, he began to multiply it. He gave it back to them. Now you got to understand this. God did not break it piece by 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 piece, because that'd have been a whole bunch of barley loaves. He blessed his disciples. He told his people, go. He put it in their hands. Don't you understand? I am putting this in your hands. If you will take it, it's not just one time, pass it out, and I'm done. Mm-mm. that God didn't intend for you just give one barley loaf and that be said and done. God took and he put it in their hands. And they, as the disciples, they begin to break it. They begin to break it. God didn't break every piece. He just put it in their hands. They're the ones that begin to break it. But God blessed it and God multiplied it. And so when they begin to break it and say, here's some bread for you. Here's some bread from you. Here's some bread from you. Here's manna from heaven. Here's some fish. Here, take this. Don't you understand? That is a principle. That is a principle that God has given you something. And his intentions are that you take what he's given you and bless the people. Break it and multiply. Tell them, hey, I got a church down here where you can get help. I got a church down here where you can get saved. Hey, I know where you can get liberty. I know where you can be set free. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To everybody. He said, go and preach. One verse said, go and teach. God is trying to teach us a principle that what he has given us, you can sit down on it and that's all you're going to get. One little barley loaf and one little fish. God will not bless you and you'll never win a soul if you sat on a pew. I'll let somebody else do it. And they will. They'll fill the pew all around you and you'll go to hell. Because you will not go to heaven never winning a soul. You will not go to heaven sitting down. God did not intend. Oh, I know I lost you there, but it's gospel. It's gospel and I'll prove it to you. It's scripture. You have to win a soul. Go look at the man with the 5 talents, the 2 talents, the 1 talent. He gave one, he buried it, nothing happened. Boom! God come back and got him. The man come back and got him. But the guy that went and said, I got this more for you. And I went and got 5 more for you. He said, oh, thou good and faithful servant. I'm not going to roll the dice and gamble to see if God says, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Or, no, you're the one that I was talking about. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I'll do whatever I have to do to err on the side of caution to make sure I make heaven. There's too many scriptures that tells us we have an obligation. Too many scriptures that tells us, go ye and teach. Go ye and preach. Go ye therefore. Too many scriptures over and over and over and over that he says, take the bread, break it, I'll bless it and multiply it, but you give it to the multitudes. You give it to the needy. You give it to the people. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost, glory to God. All of the above. Amen. I will tell you this. Verse 12. This verse stands out big time to me. Verse 12 says simply this. Verse 12 says, when they were filled, he said, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Can I tell you, he's not only talking about bread. 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. You gotta get with me. You gotta see the principle of what he's teaching. You gotta say, God revealed the truth to me. That is a type and parallel, type and shadow, a parallel. That is, he's saying, when they're all filled, he said, gather up the pieces, gather up the fragments. Everybody that comes is not going to be whole. Everybody that comes is not going to be. And he said, gather them all up and put them in these baskets. He said, go get them that nothing be lost. Again, nothing, Brother Rogers, that nothing be lost. So I went on to read a little bit further. The Bible says he would that all men be saved. It says that all men would come to repentance. Amen. Oh, Lord. I used to sing that old song. How'd it go? Saved were the 99 in the fold. Saved though the night was stormy and cold. But said the shepherd, in counting them all, one sheep is missing. There should be one more. So the shepherd went out to search for his sheep. All through the night, on a cold mountain steep, he searched till he found him with love bands. He bound him, and I was that one lost sheep. All through the night was stormy and cold. all through the night was stormy and cold. How's the rest go, Mom? But said the shepherd, all through the night was stormy and cold. That's just like the devil. I had it and sang it right before church, and God began to move, and I began to cry. But let me tell you something. There is a multitude out there. And not everyone's going to be saved, no. Amen. But He said, go that none be lost. That nothing be lost. He said, go, and gather all again. It was their responsibility. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. It was their responsibility. He told them, you go and gather them. You bring them in. You go get the broken and the pieces and the fragments. And the Bible said He put it in the disciples' hands to give to them. And they gave everything. And when they were done, you read it for yourself, 12 disciples, 12 baskets full. They gave what God gave them. They started with nothing. And when they were done, they had a huge basket full of blessings. Are you getting what I'm trying to tell you? You put what you've got in God's hands. God will then give it back to you. When you give it, you multiply it, you break it, you give it, you do. I'm done out. Well, just keep them because God's got a blessing waiting for you. And when you started with nothing, you're gonna finish with a basket full that God intends for you to use for His glory. Amen. You may be seated. Book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. Amen. Brother Brandon, read that for me on the screen, please. He told them, you go get them. And you go bring them in. You bring me the broken. You bring me the hurting. And you bring me, and I'll fill them. You go bring them, and I'll put them in the fold. You go get them and bring them, and I'll put them in the basket. Amen. And the disciples, when they started with nothing, when it was said and done, God had filled their baskets over. Where did baskets even come from? But when they were done, they had basketfuls of blessings. There's a principle there if we can just get the concept. Amen. That second verse came to me. You found it? Thank you. The shepherd went out to search for his sheep all through the night on a cold, rocky steep. He searched till he found him. With loving arms he bound him. And I was that one lost sheep. Although his feet were weary and worn, and though his hands were rent and torn, although the road was rocky and steep, still the good shepherd searched long for his sheep. So out in the night, he heard a faint cry. And from that lost sheep, just ready to die. And then in his arms to shield from the cold, he brought his lost sheep safe back to the fold. So the shepherd went out to search for his sheep. All through the night on a cold mountain steep. He searched till he found him. With loving arms he bound him. And I, you and I, was that one lost sheep. He said, safe were the 99 in the fold. Safe though the night was stormy and cold. But, said the shepherd, when counting them o'er, one sheep is missing. There should be one more. I want you to look at the empty sheep right beside you. And if there's not one, look in front of you, look at behind you. Amen. There should be one more. Every service, Brother Rogers, there should be one more. Come on, you got to get what I'm feeling. There should be one more. It's up to us. He gave us a mandate. He gave us a responsibility. We are obligated. God have mercy. We are obligated, and you cannot sit unmoved and unstirred when there's an empty seat right beside you. I will not stop preaching it, brother, and I will not stop teaching it. I will not back off of it until we win them week by week, service by service. Baptize them. I told Brother Rowe, have the baptistry ready. I don't know if we'll baptize anybody, but have the baptistry ready. Somebody should have contacted Sister Tammy. Somebody should have contacted Sister Brandy. Somebody should have and if they've ever been here, you need to be contacting them. That's not my responsibility. Do your part. Find something to do if you're doing nothing. You have an obligation. If you've done nothing this week, amen, for God, you haven't done anything that counted. If you did nothing this week except come to church, to God, you were useless. Oh, that's rough, but it's the truth, brethren. If you've done nothing for God, because the other stuff don't matter. It stops when God says, come on home, people. You understand? That's a negative in your bank account spiritually. If for nothing you've not said a prayer, I'm trying to put it out in black and white where you can understand it. On paper and draw a picture where you can see what I'm seeing. If I have done nothing for God this week, then this week I've done nothing that really counted. Because I don't matter, Brother Shupp. My wants and will does not matter, Sister Mann. My bank account does not matter. But it's the will of God. It's what have I done for God this week that matters. Likewise, it says, bodily exercise profiteth not in this life, but it is the life hereafter that godliness... Is that saying that we can't have the two? Yes, we can have the two. I just want you to understand, pumping iron don't do a thing for here unless you're reaching out and touching somebody. Unless you're telling them, hey, I know about a God that can set you free. Hey, you need to come to church. Hey, I'll do whatever I have to do, but I need to pick you up. You got to be in church this week. That's how you build a church. Reaching, 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 reaching. And every word and everything saying, God bless it, God bless it, God bless it. I promise you, when you give it, God will bless it. When you give it, He will give it back to you and multiply it over and over and over and again. And you won't believe me until you start seeing it for yourself. You're not going to believe what I'm saying until you realize, oh my God, He's telling the truth. Oh my God, He is for real. I'm telling you, hold on to it then. Hold on to it. You'll die with nothing. Hold on to what you have and don't do anything. One by one, your children will be lost. And one by one, when you die, you won't have a dollar in your bank account. Now, that's just as plain as I can put it. But I'm telling you, that's exactly what I feel. That's exactly how I feel it. Because Bishop talked before he left. You remember a while back, he talked about when you hold your hands like this. When you hold your hands like this. Go. I ain't gonna give nothing. I ain't gonna do nothing. Oh, sir, bless God. I ain't gonna do nothing. Hold your hands like this. When God pours it, what happens to it? You don't get anything. You don't get anything. When God pours it, Brother Rogers, that's why it's good to say, you know what? I'm not talking about, man, bishop, preachers, I won't. I don't care a lick what you put in the offering. That ain't my concern at all. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking, if that's all you can get in your mind, you're shallower than you think you are. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. There's more to living for God than a dollar bill. There's more to living for God than I won't give nothing. You heard what he said? God Almighty. And you wonder why Bishop sometimes got aggravated. You wonder why Mom's eyebrow rose up back to her hairline. Amen. 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 You may be seated. His concern was, are you ready for this? His concern was not the disciples. You've got to get what I'm telling you. Nowhere did you find, he said, give the disciples. He put it in the disciples' hands, and then they were required to give it to them. He didn't say take a bite. They didn't get one single bite of it. Study it. It was not theirs. He did not intend for them to get one. Now, in the end, he blessed them with more than they could even carry. He had to get basketfuls to carry it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They had to get basketfuls to carry what God had given them. But his concern was not the disciples. His concern, brethren, was the multitude. His concern was the people. His concern was putting it in the people's hands so that the people might be fed. And then he did not stop there, but that the people might be filled. The Bible says he would that all would come to repentance. Amen. Verse 14 says, very quickly, for your mercy, I'm fixing to close. Verse 14 says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of truth. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They didn't believe it till they seen the miracle. You want them to believe it? Then let's pray for a move of God. Oh, but Pastor's great. He's trying to get something happen every service. You're right, I'm trying to get something to happen every service. We got to have a move of God every service. Yes, sir, if you want anybody saved. So that's how some of them are going to be saved, when they see a miracle, when they see a move of God. Well, God don't move like that. You serve the wrong God. You ain't serving the one I'm serving, because God still heals, He still delivers, and He still saves. It's up to us to bring the broken vessels to the house. He said in Luke 14 and 23, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That my house may be filled. Can I tell you, one part of the scripture says even the dogs will even take the crumbs from the master's table. There ain't nobody wants it. Yes, they are. There's people hungry all over. There's people hungry all over. Just last week I said to her, when I come to church, and she started crying in a public place and said, my husband wants to find a Pentecostal church. They're hungry. God opens the door. It's up to us to go through the door. Every person you talk to, it can happen. Every person you come in contact with, every person on your job, every person that you cut in a restaurant, you need to be passing out cards. That's why God made you a disciple. That's why God appointed you. That's why God saved you out of a world of how many billion? God chose you. We have a responsibility and an obligation to put it in their hands. Bible says that my house may be filled. Amen. I just read to you the scripture that said He lays them on His shoulder. Amen. He goes and get one. That one sinner that repenteth, all of heaven rejoices. Amen. All of heaven rejoices. Luke 14, 23 says that my house. Compel them. Go get them. You read the definition of compel. Compel means exactly that. Go and compel them. Go and get them. Go and drag them. Do whatever you have to do to persuade them, but get them to the house of God, that my house may be filled. Amen. Joshua 2, 18 and 19. Very quickly, I'm fixing to close. Joshua 2, 18 and 19 says, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Did you get what I just said? All of them home. All of them home to your household. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the streets, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. The whole moral of the story is this. You got to go and get them, and you got to get them in your house, yes, but in this house. In this house, or their blood's going to be on your head. I'm telling you from the scripture and from the word of the Lord. I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost. He said, go and get them. We've always said, you may be the only Bible that some ever read. And He said, go and get them and bring them to the house of God. Go and get them in the house. Because if they're not in the house, they're going to die. And if the scarlet thread is not out the window, there is a chemical in blood. We read and we learned in the Citizens Police Academy. There is an agent, and I guess if you've seen NCIS or CSI and all that bunch of stuff, you've seen it too, where there is something in blood that when it is on, I read this week, when it is on a fabric, it never comes out. You can bleach it, you can put chemicals, you can solve it, everything short of burning it, it never comes out. When the blood is applied, it's always there. All they got to do is come in and go, and they see where the body laid in the back seat. I don't care if you bleach it. I don't care what you put on it. The blood is still there. It is the only liquid that never comes out of whatever it is applied to. The scarlet cord represented the blood applied to the house. If you get them here, If you can get them in a house of God where the scarlet cord, where that blood is applied, it will never come off. They can never deny it. Once they've had truth, once they've seen the blood, once the blood's been applied to their life, all God's got to do is squirt it on there. Just apply a certain little bit and you can see. And that here's the thing where I wanted to go with this. They had to stay in the house or they were lost. We come to the house of God, but there's times we go out there and the enemy comes against you. The enemy comes to get you. The enemy comes to your house. The enemy comes to your door. Just remain standing. The enemy comes in and he comes knocking. But before he gets here, all of a sudden, and the devil said, well, not here. And the demons of hell have to turn around. Why? Because the blood has been applied to your life, to your home, to your family. And he says, you know what? I can't get past the blood and the blood cannot come out. I may as well go because there's a covering of blood upon him. Everywhere the blood was at, you see the perfect outline and the covering of the blood. It shows up when you shine the light on it. Woo! You're getting where I'm going. When the light is shined, when the light is shown, when the light is applied, and the light of heaven, he said, I am the light, I am the door, I am the way. And when he shines the light on you, and the blood just stands out, there's nothing the enemy can do. He has to turn around and say, I'm sorry, I can't do this one. Go to the next house, only to find out you done won them two to the Lord. And the blood's been applied to the whole street and the whole neighborhood. He can't even get down that one neighborhood down there. There's like seven families in the church. Seven families in the church live in one neighborhood. That is a safe neighborhood, I'm telling you. Because when the devil walks up and to and fro, and he does, don't forget it, he walks to and fro seeking who's out of the house. He walked to and fro. Because the Bible says, when you stick your head out of the house, the blood's on your head. You get out of the house, the blood's on your head. It's just smart thinking to me to stay in the house. Hey, man, don't take a knucklehead to figure that one out. Just stay in the house. Because if you get outside the house, the blood is on you, baby. And no longer does the blood show up. Because now you changed everything. Because now you're outside of the house. And the light's shining right here in the house. Amen. And he said, if you can get them in the house, I can save them. If you can get them in the house, I'll apply the blood. You can get them in the house. When the blood's applied, the light shines on them. The devil has to back up. Mercy steps up. Amen. Mercy steps up and says, no, not here, not now. Amen. Our problem is, our responsibility is, we got to go and get them and bring them in the house. I keep hitting the same point over and over and over. We got to go and get them and bring them in the house. Amen. Come on to the front. Amen. Luke 14 says that my house may be filled. Joshua 2, 18 and 19 says, get them in the house that the blood might be applied. Here we go. Genesis 6, chapter 6 and verse 6. Here we go. Real quick in closing. And it repented the Lord that he made... Play something, bro. Play with me. Go ahead. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing and fowls of the air. Repenteth me that I've made them. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here we go. Verse 9. Now these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Verse 17, dropping down. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Verse 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Verse 19, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shall I bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Again, another example in the scripture. The only way to save them is to get them in the house. The only way you get your family saved is to get them in the house. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying we need to get in the house where the blood's applied, where the saving grace of God is, where Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. It don't make sense to me to get out of the house. It don't make sense to me to get as close to the edge as you can possibly get. Amen. I want to get right up front and center. Amen. 2 Kings 4 and 1. And now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? Here we go. It's the point I'm wanting to get to, and I'm closing right here. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? What have I got to offer? I'm just little old me, Sister George. I ain't got a whole lot to offer. It's just me. Brother Mark, I tell you what, I have to work all the time, and I can only come. God's understanding. Trust me, God knows you're trying to make it. It's a tough economy. And God, you're doing every dead level thing you do. Every time he's not here, he calls, he texts, he says, Pastor, I'm coming. I'm coming to work, Lord, but I'll be there. Why? He knows the only place of safety is in the house. The only place of safety is in the house. The only place of safety is in the house. Brother Matt Harvey, you decided the only place for you and Maddox and Sister Savannah is in the house. Brother Matt, don't make one move without calling and saying, Pastor, what do you think about this? Pastor, let me run this by you. Pastor, tell me what you think. Brother Matthew, is God blessing? Enough said. Trust me. God's blessing. God's blessing till it blows your mind on it, Sister Savannah. Because you said, oh my goodness, is this real? It's real. Don't pinch me, Matt. I'm afraid I might wake up. Why? Because I'm doing it right. Because, Brother Rogers, I'm getting in the house. Because I'm getting in line and saying, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you say, I'll say it. Come on. There's a principle involved. Here we go. What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. This is a little bitty pot. That's all I got to offer. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Everybody say, go. Neighbors. Go. Neighbors. Go. Neighbors. Even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto all those vessels. What are you pouring out? What you give to him. Ha ha! Come on. What are you pouring out, lady? I'm pouring out what I gave to God. And God blessed it and gave it back to me. And she began to pour it out. Amen. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, and upon thy sons shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons and brought the vessels to her. And everybody say, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, everybody say full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said, there is not a vessel. There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Can I leave this one thing with you? If you will go and get them, and you will go get them and bring not a few, it said. It said, don't get a few. It said, don't get a few. Go get me empty vessels. Don't get vessels that are full of this and full of that and full of this and full of the other. You go get people that have a need. You go get people and bring them to the house of God. And when you get them in the house, I'll start pouring out. What are you going to do? You are going to pour into them. Here we go again. He said, you go and get them, and not a few. And he said, you. God didn't say, bring them up here and let me pour. You bring them up here and I'm going to pour them, and you just stand there. If the lady had done that, she would have starved to death, and her two sons would have been taken, and she would have never seen them. She had to pour out what God gave her. And the story and the verse says that poured out, and she said, go bring me another vessel. He said, there's not another vessel to be found. And then the whole state. Can I just tell you this? Leave this one little nugget with you. As long as you'll get them. And as long as you'll pour yourself into them, brethren. If you can just get it in your mind. If you can just see it. And pour yourself into them. I promise you the oil will start flowing. And the anointing oil will start flowing. And the renewing oil will start flowing. And the Holy Ghost will start flowing. As long as there's a vessel. I said, as long as there's a vessel, and as long as there is a need, and as long as there's a situation, if you start pouring, God will keep the oil flowing. Come on, let's lift our hands and praise and give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now.